are holy, for you are holy, for you are holy, Lord,
for you are holy,
for you are holy, for you are holy, for you are holy, Lord, for you are holy, for you are holy, for you are holy, Lord.
Hear our prayer, O Lord God Almighty. Come bless our land as we sing you. We worship you.
Something a little different, something a little exciting, but I encourage every one of us, just put aside the cares of this world and any hindrances about you, and just see Jesus, who he is, glorified, holy, magnified, seated on the throne in justice and mercy, amen.
How lovely is your dwelling place.
How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. My soul longs and even faints for you. For here my heart is satisfied within your presence. I see beneath the shadow of your wings. 'Cause better is one day in your courts, better is one day in your house, better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your courts, better is one day in your house, better is one day in your courts, than thousands elsewhere, than thousands elsewhere. One thing I ask, and I would see, see your beauty, to find you in the place your glory dwells.
One thing I ask,
one thing I ask, and I would see, to see your beauty, still and I sing. Come once again to me. I will draw near to you. I will draw near to you.
Voices, let's worship him here. In your presence, Lord, is better than life.
Yes,
it's life.
God's
be with you to hear your word. To sit at your feet in your presence, Lord.
Watch
your presence under the shadow of your wing.
Yeah.
A better place to be. You protect me there. You speak life to me there. Thirsty tonight? Lord, hear our prayer. Forgive our sins as we call on your name. Would you make this a place for your glory to dwell? Open the blind eyes, unlock the deaf ears. Come to your people as we draw near. Hear us from heaven, touch our generation. We are your people, crying out in desperation. Lord, hear our song. Your children worship. As we sing out your praise, would you make this a place for your glory to dwell? Open the blind eyes, unlock the deaf ears. Come to your people as we draw near. Hear us from heaven, touch our generation. We are your people, crying out, crying out. Open the blind eyes, unlock the deaf ears. Come to your people as we draw near. Hear us from heaven, Lord, touch our generation. We are your people, crying out, we're crying out. Open the blind eyes, unlock the deaf ears. Come to your people as we draw near. Hear us from heaven, touch our generation. We are your people, crying out in desperation. Hear us from heaven, 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 Lord, hear us from heaven.
Open the blind eyes,
open the blind eyes. Unlock the deaf ears. Come to your people as we draw near. Hear us from heaven, touch our generation. We are your people, crying out, we're crying out. Hear us from heaven, unlock the deaf ears. Come to your people as we draw near. Hear us from heaven, touch our generation. We are your people, crying out in desperation.
Hallelujah. We cry out in desperation for direction, for guidance. We cry out for desperation for a lost generation. Lord, open our eyes. Unstop our ears. Help us to comprehend your plan. Help us to truly be men and women who are led by your Spirit. Hallelujah. 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 Just let the Holy Ghost just saturate you. Just don't be in a hurry tonight. Just take it in. Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, which is happens to be a scripture that we are going to use for a Sunday morning bulletin, but basically it says, not by might, not by power, but my spirit, saith the Lord. And that's something that you and I need to really grab a hold of, because sometimes we think it's by technique or by the application of a certain plan or program. No, it is by his spirit. God knows what he's doing. And I don't know about you, but I am so thankful that he's called me into the ministry. As the Apostle Paul said, because he found me faithful. And I believe that every person here is called into the ministry in some capacity, in some way. Just as the Word says in Ephesians that we are to do the work of the ministry. Some people have titles, some people don't. That doesn't make them any less important to God and His plan. But the key is that we need to know what He's doing. We need to know where He is and be where He is. Amen? And so tonight we just believe for an opportunity. That as you open your hearts and you open your minds to what the Spirit is saying, listen beyond the words to what the Spirit is saying. Don't limit your comprehension to the way things are supposed to be or how the things were. But listen to what the Spirit is doing today. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for this night. And Lord, we agree together. We agree as one that great things will happen tonight. Not because of the greatness of the speakers, but the greatness of our God. And so, Lord, as you use these men to minister to us, let it truly be a fresh word, fresh manna for weary souls. So Lord, we thank you. We just praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You may have a seat for a moment. First of all, I want to welcome everyone to Reach Out Church. Most of you are very familiar. Praise God. No hugging. We'll do that in just a minute. But tonight we have an opportunity to hear from two men, Pastor Ron Bergio and Pastor Phil McNeil. And they come as a team to minister to us in an apostolic and a prophetic way. Now, when I think of apostolic and prophetic, that means that God's going to use them to impart and to present a word, a message, a confirmation, an encouragement, an edification, an exhortation, and yes, even direction for our lives. Amen? But we need to come expecting that. Amen? We need to open our hearts and expect that God's going to speak to us this night. And so before we really go any further, you know, there's one distinctive about Christianity. As I travel around the world, I see it. And that is the love that we have for one another. And so I'm going to challenge you to stand up right now. And now you can hug each other's necks. Greet one another. Say this hello to some people that you haven't seen in a long time. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Okay, that's enough love. Hallelujah. Hello. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Would you please find your seats?
I'll try and give it to you in a half
hour. Amen. Hey.
Make sure you get one tonight. Make sure you get one tonight.
Okay. Hi, Kathy. All right, the people in the middle here. Amen. God is good.
All the time.
Amen. It's my pleasure to introduce to you Pastor Ron Bergio, who pastors Love Joy Church in the Buffalo area, and is also the president of Elam Fellowship. And so he's a face that some of you have seen before, maybe new to others, but he's a man that God uses in a very powerful way. Amen. So let me have you come up, and let's give a hand for Pastor Ron.
Thank you, Pastor. Should I stand down here? If you got a music stand down here, it'd be better. Okay, great. Wow, awesome to be here today. Number one, everyone get an outline? Does everybody have an outline? Oh, yeah, I thought they passed them out. Okay, if you could pass these outlines out, if he gets to the end, two people might have to share. Make sure Pastor gets one, though. Thank you very much. I have been longing to be with you folks. Pastor Phil and myself were just in the Albany area last night and this morning, and been really looking forward to come here. I've had admired your pastor for many years, a great man of God. He's added great value to Elam Fellowship and really places all around the world. As you know, you send them all over the place. Great. I love the whole thing up here. Reach out, church with the cross and the world there, and your pastor has been very influential throughout the world, and Elam Fellowship is just known as a great man of God. And we're hoping tonight that Phil and I could give you value now, the same value that your pastor has given us. And I want to just read, Pastor mentioned apostles and prophets. It's not in your notes, but if you would turn, if you have your Bibles, to Ephesians in the second chapter, it says this. And second chapter, verse 19, Ephesians 2:19 says this. It says, "Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God." That sounds good just right there. Now listen, "having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." That sounds like Reach Out Church to me. Sounds like this area to me. Thank you, worship team, for bringing us into the presence of God. And as we worship today, I was just rejoicing in myself, the things that God has done, is doing, and listen, and will continue to do in my life and in my ministry. Because I'm here tonight to tell you that God is not finished with anybody yet. And I'm here to share with you tonight
some things that I believe the Holy Spirit wants to encourage you personally in for your ministry, for your church, for your family, whatever it is, God wants to touch you. I, first of all, bring you greetings from Michael Cavanaugh, the Vice President of Elam Fellowship and President of Elam Bible Institute, Chris Ball, the General Secretary, Tom Brazell, who is the International Director, and Joe Jansen, who's our U.S. Ministry Director. As we're ministering right now, I think it's about 12 hours ahead, Joe and Chris are in China ministering. So we're always all over the world, and that's why your pastor does what he does, because we're part of a fellowship that believes not just in what God is doing locally, but what he's doing around the world. I want to talk to you tonight, and you have it right there in your notes. Does the pastor have one? Does the pastor have one? Okay. I'm calling this the road ahead. But before I get to the road ahead, I want to talk to you a little bit about what went behind us. You know, none of us do what we're doing because of ourselves. We are all standing on the shoulders of those that went before us. And I want to just talk to you a little bit about Elam Fellowship, about Elam Bible Institute, who we are a part of. And if you're not a part of that, or you're here, you're visiting or whatever, I'm trusting you're going to get something out of it, because you're here tonight because the Holy Spirit wants you here. I became a Christian in 1971. Wow. I was in the military. It was during the height of the Vietnam War. I was activated in March of 1970 from the National Guard, went down to Baltimore, Maryland. And I was a medic. I was already trained for 4.5 years as a combat medic. They sent me to Baltimore, Maryland, and my whole company from Fort Meade, the whole company of medics, about 200, went to Vietnam, except two people, and I was one of those two. They put me in another company, and about half of them went, and I still didn't go. And if you go back and check, in 1970, it was one of the heights of the Vietnam War, and combat medics were needed. They were getting killed all the time. And I even, as pastor, I even volunteered to go. That's how crazy I was back then. But I didn't go. But God had a purpose, because it was during that time in the military, I began reading the New Testament, and I invited Christ into my life, and he totally changed me. I was radically changed for Christ. And I began to witness to him. The first day I was a Roman Catholic. I was never in a Protestant church in all my life. And here I was, 24 years old. And the next day, I just started sharing what Jesus did to me the night before in my own bedroom. I didn't get saved at a church service. I didn't get saved at a rally. It was in my bedroom on my knees that I invited Jesus in. And I began to share my testimony. Finally, God connected me into a local church, and I began to do all that. But the interesting thing was, is that I had a rank of a sergeant. I was in charge of a physical, an annex where we did physicals for people and all that. And I got accepted to Duke University to start in September of 1972 to be a physician's assistant. They call them physician's associates now, okay? Probably many of you have one, okay, if you go into a doctor's office. When I was accepted to go to school, there wasn't any. They were all in Duke University, and most of them were combat medics. And I got accepted to go there. I was really excited, and the Lord interrupted that whole thing and began to woo me to go to Elam Bible Institute. And I had to make that decision. But when I went and was in the presence of God, how I got introduced to it, a young lady, actually now she's a professor at Valley Forge College, introduced me to that. And I went to a camp meeting. And when I was in the presence of God, I said, this is the place for me. And I gave up going to Duke University and went to Elam. Then I have a couple of other degrees that I have since then. But you know what? I have never stopped being the physician's assistant. Come on. All of you are. You're all ministers. The pastor is at it tonight. We're all the physician's assistant. Okay, associate. And I went to Elam, and Elam radically changed my life. And from Elam Bible Institute was really started around 1924 by Ivan Q. Spencer, who had a great He also was converted and was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And as he was seeking the Lord, God gave him a Holy Spirit vision of end time revival and how God wanted him involved in it and also a group of other people. And that's how he began Elam Bible Institute. And it was a place where God began to work, and it was called Old Elam in Rochester, New York. And God worked there in a great way, and Elam Bible Institute was formed. And from there, then Ivan was sending people all over the world as missionaries, and he needed a sending organization. That's how Elam Fellowship was began. About 90 years ago, the Bible school began, and for many years, the fellowship has been operating, and we are a part of that. I want to tell you that our DNA, our heritage, listen, is to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and to walk in the power of God. Let me just share a couple of things that Bernard Evans, one of our elders, a great man of God, he was the president of Elam for a number of years. He shared a few things. I just want to share a couple of these things because I want to encourage you individually and as a group or your church or your ministry that God wants to work in your life afresh. I've been doing this for many years, and I want to tell you, I've been anointed with fresh oil again. I feel the power and anointing of God, the love of God. I want to reach the world as never before. We are in days today that are so climatic that it's scary. But we know that Jesus Christ is Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and he's coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. Amen? He's coming back for a victorious church. Though many people are being persecuted all over the world today, we even have a greater obligation to serve him in the capacity that he has called us to. Let me just share a couple of things that Bernard Evans shared with us. In 1924, God commissioned Ivan to open a training school for young people for the supernatural ministry of the last hour. So Elam Fellowship is connected to that. Okay, and the word name Elam, okay, is a name that talks about oasis and refreshing. And it was at Elam Bible Institute that many people were empowered and anointed of God. It was called the Powerhouse of the East, there in Rochester, New York. Elam was one of the earliest Pentecostal Bible schools in modern history. Many people don't realize that, but it was, starting back in 1924. And I believe God spoke to me last year that Elam Bible Institute today, under the leadership of Michael Cavanaugh and the great faculty and staff that is there, has the potential to being the premier Bible college in the Northeast. I believe that. And God is using Michael and using the staff and using the faculty there to raise up end-time leaders to change the world. And we are related to that. The biblical source of the name Elam reveals that Elam was an oasis. That's what it was talking about. As Bernard Evans wrote, a wellspring of living water in the desert. Now listen, what I'm saying, I want you to think of yourself. Come on, hear me tonight. I'm prophesying to you that God wants you. You may say, I feel like a desert. I feel dried out. I feel like I'm not. God is saying to you that he wants you, listen, to be a wellspring of living water in the desert with 12 wells, and that's talking about Elam now, and 70 palm trees where the children of Israel encamped by the waters. As we encamp by the waters of refreshing in the presence of God here in the church service, in your own devotions, wherever it is, God wants to flow out of you living water. Pastor got up, and as he was, just before, as he got up tonight, I'm saying this, Lord, I'm desperate for you to do something in me. And the Bible says that if any man thirst is desperate and comes to me, Jesus said, and believes as the scripture says, out of his life will flow rivers of living water. He gets up and he says, Lord, we're desperate for you to do something else. If you're desperate tonight, you're in the right place. If you feel that you're in a desert, God wants to use you, listen, to pour out living water wherever you go. It's been the desire of Elam and all its outflowing ministries in many places throughout the world to bring the refreshing water of the Holy Spirit to dry and thirsty people and lands. Carlton Spencer, who was the son of Ivan Q. Spencer, said in 2004, 10 years ago, he said this, the vision for Holy Spirit visitation to the church and to the world, part of my father's and mother's original call, remember his parents were the founders of Elam, has not been lost, but will keep Elam Fellowship open to the fresh expression and outpouring of the Holy Spirit in these climatic end times. This was written in 2004. This is 2014. How much more climatic are the days we're living in now? And he goes on to say, brothers and sisters, let us keep our hearts attuned to his voice, majoring on prayer and heart preparation for the next crossing. Whatever that is, the next crossing into with the glory of God. We sang about that tonight. It was some great times in his presence. Brothers and sisters, let us keep our hearts attuned to his voice, majoring on prayer and heart preparation for the next crossing. The fullness of Joel chapter 2 is still before us, and parts of our world have yet to be won for our Christ, but they have been promised. Let us pass these promises to the new generation. And that is my goal. Listen, we've got a lot of work to do. But I want to tell you, as dark as things seem, as Islam seems to be growing, radical Islam and all that, God is raising up you and me in the parts of the world we're living in that we could be a well spring of water in the desert land. Turn with me to Acts chapter 2. In your notes, you see I talked there about Joel chapter 2, but we're going to look at Acts for a couple of minutes, and I'm going to share some things with you. In Acts chapter 1, it says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Listen, you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. God means what he says, and he's going to do that. Listen, we're only a small part of Christianity in the world. I don't know if you realize that a lot or not. There's only a small part of Christianity is in the United States. There's Christians all over the world. And God is moving by his Spirit. It may not seem it like in our country, but I'm going to tell you, God's going to do something. And he wants to use you and he wants to use me. I'm going to just take a little liberty here and read from Acts chapter 2, okay, verse 1. Just be patient with me. Just make me happy and say, I will be patient. Okay, thank you. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Okay, just listen to this. When the day of Pentecost, remember Acts 1:8 says, you shall receive. And tonight there's going to be a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit for your individual lives. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And then, I'll just go ahead and read it. Verse 5. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused or bewildered. They were astonished because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language? They're saying, these are just common people. How do they know different languages? Go right down to verse 11. Cretans and Arabs and a whole bunch of other people. We hear them speaking in our own tongue, the wonderful works of God. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? Others, mocking, said, They are full of new wine. Some people received it. Some people were opposed to it. Kind of like it is today, don't you think? Listen. But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out of my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heavens above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Someone give God praise for that. God wants to pour out of His Spirit upon us afresh. This blessing, this promise was not for a select few, but for all. That's what's so awesome about these last days. It's for the young, it's for the old. It's for men, it's for women. It's for children, it's for adults. It's for everybody. And God is doing it again. He did it 2,000 years ago. But when it says the last days are really from the time of the resurrection of Jesus until now. So He continues to do it to people that are prepared and are desire and are hungry and are desperate, as Pastor said to us earlier. The way forward. I talked to you about the past. I want to talk to us about the way forward for a few minutes. There's a quote from D.L. Moody. And he says this. Is that quote in there? Yeah. It says this. "I believe and am growing more into this belief that divine, miraculous, creative power resides in the Holy Spirit. If we look to the Spirit of God and expect it to come from Him and in Him alone, then we shall honor the Spirit and the Spirit will do His work. I cannot help but believe that there are many Christians who want to be more efficient than the Lord's service. It is from the Holy Spirit that we may expect this power." Listen, I want you to expect His power and His blessing in your life. I want to tell you, I have a strong desire and determination to discover and practice all that Christianity was meant to be. I want to enter into a dimension of Christianity that is scriptural, listen, is scriptural and right for me to believe. Even though I may not see it in the capacity that I want to see it, I want to believe it for it. If it's scriptural, if it's in here, we can believe it. And what God says He's going to do, He will do. He just needs a people that are surrendered to Him and believing that what He says that He will do. Okay, I have a few points. I'm going to go over them with you. I will not be very long. Number one, the world has portrayed the church to be here only to help the poor and the needy. Because many times they say, well, why? Well, you know what? Whatever we do, we can't win. It's either you're not doing enough for social justice or that's all you do. I'm going to tell you in front of God tonight, that my desire is to help the poor, help the needy, be in social justice. We need justice, and I want that to happen in a great way. But we need the horizontal, and we need the vertical. We need both, and I want God to do something. But I need Him to help me in every aspect of my life. I have a strong desire to recapture all that Christianity was meant to be. We need to look at the Scripture and discover all that there is for us today in the power of the Holy Spirit. Number two, the gifts of the Spirit are for today. Miracles, signs, and wonders are for today. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14:1, "Pursue love and earnestly desire spiritual gifts." I need to pursue love. I need to help the poor. I need to help the needy. I need to be in social justice. I need to make sure that, God is, that we're doing all that we can to do that horizontally. But I also need the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. I want to see that normal Christianity, New Testament Christianity, is power-filled and full of life. That's what God desires of us in this day. Not to retreat, not to back off from what we're doing, but when we see social injustice, we need to move and do that. And when we need people that need salvation and healing and deliverance, we need to move in that too. I want all of that. We need all of that in our lives. The Bible says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do you believe that?
Yes.
I believe that. The problem is, it's easy to believe what he did yesterday in the Bible. And it's easy to believe, well, I think down the road he could do it. It's right now today. Sometimes we have a hard time believing. Isn't that true? But I want to tell you, God wants to pour his Spirit out upon you. God wants us to be power and word ministers. Every one of you is a minister. You're not all paid to do that, but you're all commissioned to do that. Amen? You're all commissioned to do that. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good. Just stop right there for a moment. What is your name, sir? Tom? Let me tell you what the Bible says. I know you, Tom. How God anointed Tom with the Holy Spirit and with power. You need to put your own name in there. That's what I do. Put your own name in there. Who went about doing good. Listen, we need to go out doing good. We need to be good people. We need to be involved in social injustice. Trust me when I tell you this. The theological basis of what's happening in the world today, what's happening in Missouri, what's happening in a lot of places, the theological basis is for us as Christians to move and help people in social injustice. We need to help them. That's being good. And with how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Listen, he wants us, that's what he wants us to do. To do good and help people that are oppressed or whoever it is, need healing, God wants us to minister to them. Number three. And I want to remind you, I'm just the first part of what's happening tonight. Pastor Phil is coming up right after me. Number three. Jesus was different than the religious teachers of his day. They said, he teaches and preaches with authority. He does miracles. Listen, when Jesus came to earth and began his ministry, there was a lot of teachers. There was Pharisees and Sadducees. And there was a whole bunch of other sects that were teaching. But when Jesus began to teach, they said, wow, this guy had speeches with us, preaches with authority. And miracles were happening. I want more of that for my personal ministry and for the church. I hope you do too. Many churches in America are seeker-sensitive or user-friendly, I would say. That is, they are using a whole different form of marketing, which is fine. I want you to know that. Do not get uptight with seeker-sensitive churches. They're getting people saved. They're discipling people. But they're missing an element that God has given you and God has given me. They're doing a great job, seeker-sensitive churches, and they're winning people to Christ. But they have not dealt with the whole area of the supernatural at all. But God has called us to do that. I have seeker-sensitive pastors and friends, and many times they have called myself or people in my church or Elam people to come and pray for people that need deliverance or healing. I get a phone call just a few weeks ago. It happens regularly. I mean, at least four or five, six times a year. And, I need help. I need deliverance. I heard that you do that. I said, well, who sent you? And they told me a seeker-sensitive church. Pastor said I could trust you and you will pray for me. So that's what God's called us to do. Don't put down the seeker-sensitive people. Let's just do what God's called you and me to do. Amen? I got enough to worry about. I want you to hear this quote from Samuel Chadwick. And I'm not just trying to build up your pastor, but really, when he was praying, he was prophesying. That's what I was going to turn to. This guy's prophesying. But listen what Samuel Chadwick said. It's similar to what your pastor was saying. The church that multiplies committees and neglects prayer may be fussy, noisy, enterprising, but it labors in vain and spends its strength for naught. It is possible to excel in mechanics and fail in dynamics. There is an abundance of machinery. What is wanting is power. Isn't that an amazing scripture? It's the power that we need. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 4. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith may not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. Someone say amen. Amen. That's what we need. Number 4. We need to do church the way God is leading us. As ministers of Christ, we are not to trade or sell our heritage. Elam Fellowship is a Christ-centered worldwide revival fellowship. He's called us to that. So, let's do it God's way. Reach out to the world, church. That's how I read that. Reach out to the world, church. That's all of us. God is not changing. He's unchanging. He healed the sick in the past, and he will heal the sick today. Number 5. I want you to hear this. The balanced ministry of the church is teaching, preaching, and healing. Matthew 9:35. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Jesus said in Acts 1:8, we read it, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will witness to the ends of the world. That's the ends of the earth. That's what it says. I'm a part of that. And by God's grace and by God's strength, I'm going to continue to do that. I have been in full-time ministry since 1978. 1976, I really went into the ministry after graduating from a couple of colleges. And today, I feel a greater urge, a greater necessity, a greater passion and compassion that I just want to continue to do what God's called me to do to the ends of the earth. We are commanded to preach that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through Him. That's what we're commanded to do. That's what He's called us to do. What do you mean Jesus is the only way? What about Buddha? What about Hindu? What about Muhammad? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We just need to quote what he said. Now, we need to love others, respect others, but we need not to back off. I'm going to tell you, we still need to preach the gospel. Pastors and leaders in your organizations or churches, you need to give room for altar calls at least once in a while. Give people an opportunity to receive Jesus. We are commanded to preach the gospel. Christ's last command, the Great Commission to the church, also included healing the sick and casting out demons. Deliverance is needed today. You could ask people in my office, people that work for me. I have about 10 employees that work at Lovejoy. And many times they'll say, wow, we just do some deliverance happen. People come in crying and bound up, and they leave happy and smiling. Why? Because I believe in deliverance. I believe in healing. Does everyone get healed? No, I have to admit that. Does everyone get delivered? They can, but maybe there's some things that hold them back. But God's called us to do that. Talks about Mark that we need to lay hands on the sick and to cast out devils. Psalm 90, there in your notes. Listen, I want you to, when I'm reading this, I want you to pray this for yourself before I turn this over to Pastor Phil. Lord, let your work, the signs of your power, appear to your servants and your glory to their children. and let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. That's a great prayer to pray. But you have made me as strong as a wild ox. I have been anointed with fresh oil. God wants to anoint you with fresh oil tonight so that you could do what he's called you to do. I have the scripture there in Isaiah. You can read it for yourself. I'll just read the first verse. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Listen, you need to declare that for yourself. You get into a tight situation, you need someone that's oppressed, someone that needs healing, someone that needs deliverance, someone that just needs help. You need to say, God anointed me with the Holy Spirit to do good and to help the oppressed and heal them. And the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. Come on, he's anointed you. Because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and opening of the prison to those who are bound. You can read the rest. Let me just close by just saying this to you tonight. The road ahead is for you, for me, for all of us to finish the race. That's what God has called us to do. Some of you tonight need a word of encouragement to endure a little bit longer. Some of you may be thinking of giving up or getting out of the race. You're not sure what God has for you today. I want to tell you, just go on a little bit longer. I just wrote this down before I came in my hotel room. Endurance means that you keep on keeping on. It means when other people quit, you don't quit. Usually it's not talent that separates people, it's usually attitudes and desire. I don't have the greatest talents, but I have an attitude and desire that I want to finish the race well. Listen, you have been trained by the Holy Spirit, and you understand that the road we're on is a journey. Acts 20:24. But none of these things move me. If you read that in context, the Apostle Paul was talking about trials, tribulations, obstacles, persecutions, discouragements, people letting him down, thinking that he's not accomplishing much. He said, but none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself so that I may finish my race with joy in the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel. Just close your eyes with me. Father, I thank you for these great people right here today. And Lord, I thank you for the Word of God, which is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. And Lord, I just pray you'd come upon them, Lord, tonight. Lord Jesus said, if any man thirst, is desperate, let him come to me. Lord Jesus, we're desperate. You could just say it in your heart. Lord, I'm desperate. I'm desperate, Lord Jesus, and I come to you. And it says, come to me and drink. Lord, we just receive from you now all that you have for us. We receive fresh oil, fresh power, fresh anointing, the gifts of the Spirit. And he that believes, as the scripture says, out of his life shall flow rivers of living water. Lord, we believe you, and I'm believing you for refreshment and power and anointing to come on upon your people. They'll endure to the end. With joy, they're going to finish the race and the ministry you called them to. And out of their life shall flow rivers of living water into the desert areas all around us. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor Phil's going to come up, and when he's done, just if you need to go, that's fine. He's going to prophesy, and afterwards, if people want special prayer, we will pray for you afterwards. Pastor Phil, come.
Amen. Hallelujah. Woo. Isn't that good? Amen. I appreciate Pastor Ron, and what I appreciate is that he has determined that Elam Fellowship will not be an organization, but an organism. Amen. That's alive. And the church is not called to be an organization, although we have structure and we have to be organized. It's called to be a living, breathing entity. Amen? And full of life and full of power and moved by the Holy Spirit, not just by the ideas of man. Now, thank God for ideas. Amen? but we need the Lord and we need the Holy Spirit. One of the things that attracted me so much to the Elam Fellowship and even the Elam Bible Institute as a young man was that I couldn't have went to other Bible schools, but what I sensed about the Elam Bible Institute was this, is that they were hungry for the Holy Spirit. And, you know, they weren't caught up in building this or building that, and those things were all good. But they wanted the move of the Holy Spirit. My name's Phil. I've been pastoring the same church. It was a church plant. I've been pastoring it for 20 years. And I'm married for 22. I better get that right or I won't be able to go home. Luckily, she's not here. Amen. And I have four daughters. My youngest is 13. My oldest is 20. And they're all serving the Lord. Glory to God. I give credit to their mother, and because it must be her DNA in there somewhere. But they love the Lord. My oldest, who's 20, had 13 boys when she was in high school. Asked her to the prom. She said no to them all. That's what I'm saying. I heard it good for her. And I said, good for me. That's what I said right there, you know, because that's the last thing I want. And she said to me, I don't know where she gets you. She said, well, I'm strong enough maybe to go, but what about my sisters who are coming along? Maybe they'll be weak in their walk. And I might be able to go and just come home, go by myself, but will they be able to do that? And some of them were for all walks of life. A couple of jocks in there, all good-looking, muscular guys, and some actors and some musicians. And she said, no. I was the happiest day of my life. That's all I got to say right now. It was the happiest day of my life. They call me the dean of women at my house. And I say this, that every day is a new day. Even the women in the house tonight are saying, oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about, you know. Every now and then I just go out in the front lawn and stare at the stars and go, help me, Lord. But then the other side of it is, I am so blessed. Those girls love me. I can do no wrong. One time, we have a youth group on Sunday night. One time after the youth group, they all came home, all four of them, and my wife set a timer giving them all 15 minutes to meet with me in the den. When the timer went ding, one went out, another one came in. Ding, another one out, another one came in. Ding, another one out. Did you get the picture? Ding. By the end of it, I was going ding, 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 ding. And then my wife came in and she said, I don't get a timer. That's right. That's right. I got you all to myself. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm looking for someone that I saw tonight. I hope she's still here. I'm looking. Don't worry. I saw a few people I just felt the word from the Lord for. But I don't see her, but that's okay. Hallelujah. Maybe I'll see her in a few minutes. But Brother Vic, I felt this strong word for you. Two dimensions to it. That there has been an element where your ministry has went to the nations. But get ready for your ministry to be used in this nation and even in Canada. That doors are going to be open to you that are going to be sovereign by the hand of the Lord, not just in the nations, which he's opened a sovereign door for you, but in this nation and in North America. There's going to be invitations that come, and you're going to impart local church dynamics, but you're also going to impart a dynamic of the Holy Spirit. There'll be a strong teaching mantle upon you to establish and even to encourage local churches on the things that will bring the blessing of the Lord. And the second thing I heard from the Lord was this: get ready to bring more people with you on these trips to be mentored and to be discipled. For you're going to begin to mentor even in ways that you thought, well, I can do a little here and a little there, but you're going to begin to mentor and disciple and bring young men and women and women, men and women of all ages along as they travel with you on these trips. For you have brought a few and you've went by yourself, but the Lord comes and he says, get ready, I'm going to start to bring more with you. And the third thing the Lord spoke to me was provision. There's going to be supernatural provision. But more than that, you're going to teach people to believe the Lord for provision. They're going to see and by what the Lord has done in your life and for their own lives, they're going to see the provision of God, that when God calls, he enables. When God calls, he provides. And supernatural provision. So three things: this nation, North America, get ready for more to travel you, and supernatural provision for your life. And for your wife, she might teach the word or share a little bit or break the word a little bit, but there's going to be an increase of anointing upon her life to share the word, an increase of mantle, and even things that she has longed for. She's seen some things, there's been some things, even at times maybe she hasn't wanted to, but here's the thing: get ready for an increase of anointing upon her life to break the word and to share the word, and that for doors to open for her. Now listen, I believe in women being able to teach and preach and things like that. But she's going to have an ability to teach and preach women. To women and to mentor and disciple also. There is a new element coming to the house here, and it's an element of fatherhood and motherhood for people who are hungry for the Lord and want to be discipled. And even in this area, you're going to be known, that you've trained and raised up leaders, but get ready because even more are coming. And I see these young families and young men and women coming in, and you're going to be able to teach and mentor them and bring them along one by one, two by two, and then multiplication will come because the hand of the Lord is upon you to mentor, disciple, and raise up and touch the world, but not only the world, even this nation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, and brother, I just feel the Lord wants to increase your ability to care, even as a shepherd, we care for sheep, just to care for people and to reach out to people and encourage them and strengthen them in the Lord and to use you, as it were, to care for people even the times that others may not care for. But God's going to use you to care for them and reach out to them and to be a strength to them. And a man right here in the shirt, I believe the Lord is saying to you that he's going to bring you into a mentor relationship where you're going to be imparted into, that strength is going to come to you, and as you are willing to lay your life down, as you are willing to be spoken to, and not that there's been a resistance, I don't mean that at all, but as you, and it doesn't matter where you are in life, we all need to be mentored. I've enjoyed my time with Pastor Ron traveling and just listening to his heart. And even as he shared about the Holy Spirit, he's mentoring me. He's speaking into my life. And the Lord comes to you and he says, be open even more to have it. And it's not that there's been a resistance, but even more, be open to people speaking into your life. And at times, pray and let the Lord lay on your heart someone to go to that you would be mentored, that you would be brought along and even grow more in the Lord. It doesn't matter where you are in life or what you're doing. We all need to be mentored and grow in the Lord. We all need to be teachable. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Where's the sound guy? Is his name Aaron? Where is he? Is he still here? Is everybody running out on me tonight? Hallelujah. Aaron, the Lord says to you that he's going to start to grow you. He's going to start to grow you. That he's going to start to grow you. Do you hear it? He's going to start to grow you in ways that you never thought. And he's looking at you tonight, and he's saying to you this, as you commit to him, and it's not that you haven't, but as you continue to commit to him, that he's going to grow you and strengthen you. Listen, he's coming to you tonight and saying to you even, how bad do you want it? And if you believe, he says he'll bring an increase in your life. If you step out, he'll bring an increase in your life. And he'll increase that, even that you see where you are now, but God sees where you are 5 or 10 years from now. And he sees what he can do in your life. And as you even now in your heart say, God, I'll give it all to you. I'll lay it down for you. He says to you right now that he will bring an increase. And you're not even going to believe the good things that you're going to be able to do for the kingdom and purposes of God. But as you commit your life, as you deepen your walk with him, as you get in the word, as you are faithful in the little. Now hear this. As you continue to be faithful in the little, in the years to come, God says he's going to make you faithful in the much. And he's going to bring fruit into your life, and good fruit, and fruit that will remain. Amen. That's a good promise. That's a good promise. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord, brother. I just see, I'm not a farmer, although sometimes you think I am. I use so many illustrations. But sometimes in plowing, you can run into a root, and a root that'll hold back the plow. And, as I saw you here just sitting, I felt the Lord say, he's able to plow the field and remove the root. Now, here's the thing that he says to you. There'll be times where he will call you to remove it, and then there will be times where he will come along and remove it for you. Hallelujah. And, I like it better when God comes along and removes it for me, because it's a lot less work, and you know what? I like my back not to hurt. But here's the deal. God says he's going to go before you. And he's going to help you. and he's going to help you to establish and reestablish. He's going to even work in the vineyard of your own heart, and he's going to work in the vineyard that you're involved in, whatever it is, whatever is on your hand to do, the Lord says he's going to help you to do it. And here's the thing, he's the pruner of your life, and he's the pruner of the vineyard, he's the establisher of the vineyard, and he comes to you tonight and he says he is going to establish. I think of the parable of the wheat and the tares. You got to be careful that it says in scripture that if you pull up the wheats or the tares, you might pull some wheat with it. I like it when God pulls the tares in my life and the things that I'm facing. He comes to you right now and he says he is going to do it in your life. He's going to do it in the situations you find yourself in. But he's going to give you divine wisdom of when to pull and when to let go, and when to plow and when to let him move it. But be encouraged this night, because he comes to you and he says this, I am with you. I am with you to establish you and to put you in a good place. So be encouraged this night, because my hand is upon you, even to teach you my ways. I'm going to teach you my ways. In fact, in the years to come, you're going to have wisdom. And wisdom, not beyond your years, but wisdom because of your years, because of the things that you have been through and the things that you've seen established. And in your own life, you're going to grow, but you're going to cause others to grow. You're going to challenge others to be more than they think they could be and to be all that God has called them to be. Hallelujah. My hand is with you. Hear that? My hand is with you, and I'm able to take care of the field. I'm able to take care of the roots and to bring to pass that which I desire to bring to pass. Hallelujah. 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 Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. You know, I've got an interesting word for you, my brother, because you're a good man. And what I keep hearing is, you know your calling, you know your place. I don't even like using that word, you know your place, because it sounds so, you know your place. That's not what I mean at all. But God is coming to you, my brother, and he's saying, I've got more for you. I got more for you. And it's not that you're going to push for it. It's not that you're going to be aggressive for it. But God is going to begin to stir in your heart for more. And you've been, hey, Lord, I'll do whatever. I'll do whatever. There's a humility. But the Lord comes and he says he's going to start to move on you and to stir on you for more. And it's going to become a stirring of his word in your heart. And you're going to read the word in fresh ways, and that word is going to come alive in you. And here's the thing about the word, you can't hold it back. You know, it'll just take over. It's like a seed that gets into a piece of asphalt and the roots keep growing and it pushes that asphalt out of the way. And God is going to begin to grow in you, not in arrogance, not that that's even an issue, but a confidence. And the word is going to become fresh to you. But here's the thing, a lot of it's going to be one-on-one. A lot of it's going to be day by day, shoulder to shoulder, working with people, just one-on-one, one-on-one, one-on-one. But then there's going to be small groups, and other opportunities are going to come too, where you'll share and break the word even more. And it's not, I don't know if you've ever done that, but I just see the Lord breaking you out and causing the seed to grow. The kingdom of God will not be stopped. It's a seed that's been planted, and a seed that will grow and produce fruit. The enemy can try, but we're still here, amen? And the kingdom of God is still going forth. Even with adversity, the kingdom of God goes forth. And the Lord comes to you and says, the kingdom of God is going to break forth even more in your life. It will not be stopped, but it will go forward in strength and in power. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Where's the guy that was playing the drums? Is he here? Oh, hey, there you are. Good. Hallelujah. Hey, let no one despise thy youth, but be an example to the believers in word and deed. And I'm going to start to grow you, saith the Lord, too. I'm going to start. You, young man, let me tell you, if you knew the things I had for you, you would be at times going, what, me? But I'm telling you, I'm going to work in your life such a fire. you're going to have the fire. It's not that there's not good things now, but you're going to have the fire of God in you. There's going to be a demonstration of preaching the word to people. You're going to be someone on fire for the kingdom and the purposes of God. I'm going to do such a work in you that even you yourself will be amazed. You'll look at the mirror and say, I'm amazed with me. Who is this guy? I am going to break you out, saith the Lord. I am not done with you, and I am working with you, and I am wrestling with you, and I am bringing you forth and birthing you into something new, even in the months and years ahead, that you will be amazed about, and you will run, as it were, with me. You will not walk, you will run with me. So I come to you tonight and I say, let no one despise thy youth, but I come to you and I also say, be an example to the believers in word and deed. And don't worry, I'm able to grace you and bring you along and grow you, and I'm able to deal and bring you forth and make you into the man of God that I've called you to be. I'm working with you. I'm working on the clay of your heart. I'm going to continue to form you and bring you in to all that I have for you. And there are going to be friends who are going to walk away, but I'm going to bring other friends, saith the Lord, and they're going to be good friends, and they're going to be friends that will stand with you. And you will not be alone, for I shall in the years ahead put other people with you. You will have true friends. Other men will be close to you, that will be a strength to you, and together you will serve and walk with the Lord together. For I'm bringing you up and bringing you out and bringing you in, because my hand is for you for good things. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Yes. And you too, I have more for you than you imagined. You have been willing, as it were, or you have thought, not me, but I come to you and I want you to become more in me. And I'm coming to your heart tonight and I'm knocking on the door of your heart and I'm saying to you, can you believe me? Can you step out? Can you have faith in your heart to step out and continue growing in me and to take on even new challenges, even things that you thought not for me, maybe for others, but not for me? I'm coming to you tonight. I'm going to make you in the years to come, and even quicker than you thought, a pillar. I want to make you a strength to the work of the Lord. And if you'll come tonight and you'll say, yes, Lord, I'll be that. I come to you and I say, good, I will take you at your word, and I will make you an example to the believers in word and deed. And I'll put the word of God within you to strengthen you and make you into the man of God that I've called you to be. You will grow and you will grow quickly, but it won't be, the seed that is planted on stony ground and then it grows quickly and it's pulled away or it dies quickly. No, I'm going to make you a marathoner. I'm going to make you a standard a bearer, one that will be steady and fast, but steady for the kingdom of God. So be encouraged this night. I come to you tonight and I say, yeah, if you'll believe, I'll step up with you. And I'll bring you into even more than you thought. You thought you'd hit 10. I'm telling you, you're going to hit 20. You thought you'd hit 4. I'm going to take you to 34. I'm telling you, I'm going to bring you into more than you thought. But if you will step up, if you will continue to be faithful, I'm telling you, I'll make you into more. Not only that, I'll bless you on the left and I'll bless you on the right. And you shall see a harvest in your life, not just of the Spirit of God and of the things of God, but I'll even bless you, and as it were, physically. I'll bless you materially. But those things will not be consumed upon yourself, but you shall sow them into the kingdom and the purposes of God. Do you hear me tonight? That as you step up, as you believe, as you launch out, as you even believe more about yourself than you think right now, because God says it. God says you're his son. God says he loves you. God says he knows your name. God knows he knows your beginning, and he knows what he has for your future. And if you believe him and step out, and even when things come that you would say, not me. If you'll say, if you'll listen to the Spirit of the Lord speaking to you and say, yes, God will equip you. God will help you. And God will increase you to make you more. I'm telling you, I want to renew your mind. I want to renew your mind of what you think, because I think more of you than you think at times of yourself. But I'm going to bring you in, saith the Lord, because I've seen your heart. Man looks on the outward, but God looks on the heart. And I want to make you into an example to the believers and to be a strength and a pillar to the work of God. And it's going to come as you say yes. As you say, okay, Lord, I don't see it, but if you see it, okay. If my pastor sees it, if another leader sees it, okay, I'll do it. And the Lord will bring you in to good things. Hallelujah. Amen. Bless the Lord. Kataramando sotoramai. Shetaramando sotorobo. Kidaramando sotoramai. Hallelujah. I've been thinking a lot lately about mindsets, and I've been doing a little series at my church about it, and I'm just going to exhort for a couple of minutes here and then see what the Lord has for us here. Hallelujah. And I see it in my own life at times. What's the program in your mind? What do you really think about yourself? If you think I'm not worthy, if you think I'm not talented, if you think I've reached my limits, if you think I have my best days, I've had my best days, and if you think I can't go back to school, if you think I don't have what it takes, that's exactly what you'll get. And I know the Lord comes to us at times and begins to stir in us, but the program in our mind says, this is as far as I can go in God. It's going to be the same old, too young, too old, too tired. Some of us are too cynical, amen? You know, you've been in the Lord for 20 years and nobody's going to tell you anything new. And that's the exact thing that happens. Nobody tells you anything new and you don't do anything new. Amen. And your root gets so deep. And God wants to come along tonight and pull that root up. I like saying that, like, pull that root up. Do you hear that? Oh, pull that root up. Pull it out. Because as you think in your heart, so will you be. And the pastor or a leader comes to you and says, you can do this, we can do this. And you go, ha, ha, I've heard that before. Or I can't do that. And let me tell you how far you get that far. And you're your own worst enemy. Amen? My parents were immigrants. They immigrated from Ireland. And, my parents' first couch came off the side of the road. Let me tell you, they've had a lot of beautiful couches since then, and none of them came from the side of the road. Because my parents believed. They believed that God would be their provision, that God would help them, and they didn't have to live a certain way. But as they believed the Lord, that he would give them all good things. Amen? And so that's the way it is. I grew up in the home of an immigrant, and they taught me that anything you put your mind to do, Phil, you can do. And maybe you grew up and your parents said, you can do nothing. Well, I'm telling you right now, God says with him, all things are possible. Amen? Not some things. And without him, you can do nothing. No thing. But with him, all things are possible. Amen? I'm speaking tonight to somebody here. God's coming to you, and you said, I can't go back to school. I can't be in ministry. I've been disqualified. I can't serve the pastor. I can't help in the church. I can only do this. And God's coming to you tonight saying, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And as you step out and believe the Lord, you can go back to school and get a degree. I just went back a couple years ago and got a master's. Hallelujah. I got four daughters and a church that was building a building. God helped me to get through, and God can help you. One time, I'm so crazy, I was in a psychiatric wing at Rochester in the hospital there. I had to go through it. I was a patient. I was a patient. Don't tell anyone. I'm trying to keep my ordination, brother. Anyhow, so I'm walking through this psychiatric hospital, and because the parking lot had moved, and the only way to get through was to the hospital was through this wing. So I'm walking along, and I see this guy who's obviously a patient. His head is shaved. His eyes are darkened, and he's a big guy. He's got on the hospital clothes, you know. And so as I'm walking down the hallway, all of a sudden he jumps out in front of me. I bear down like this, getting ready. Where is this going? And all of a sudden he looks at me. He goes, I love your optimism. It's a true story. I tell my church, they go, yeah, he's crazy. He's so optimistic. But I'd rather be optimistic, amen? Some of us do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Amen. Got to renew your mind. Mindset is important. Remember David's brothers when he brought the food? And he said, he asked about, the whole, I just saw someone, I want to prophesy over, good, I just saw where they are, good. He brought the food, and his brothers said to him, what are you doing here, you arrogant little thing? His own brothers didn't believe in him. How about Joseph's brothers? How about Moses when he said, I am a man of slow of tongue, slow of speech? Hey, we're in good company sometimes when we don't think good about ourselves or think we can do it. But I'm telling you right now, there's someone here, maybe more than one. God wants to break you out. You know what I saw during the worship? I saw borders. Borders of countries. And I saw people walking up to him and walking away saying, I can't do that. I can't get through that border. And I'm telling you right now, there's people here, you got borders in your mind. God wants to bring you into something new. He wants to grow you. And you've got a pastor that can, or people in your life that can teach you and mentor you. Believe the Lord. Amen. I don't want to miss. I think sometimes we miss out on things. God's saying to us, do this, do that. And we say, God, let me help you out. You don't know what you're talking about. He wants to stretch us. Neighbor had a dog when I was growing up as a kid. It was a German Shepherd, and it had grass, and he put a chain on it, and it would run out so far, and the chain would jerk, and it would stop. Well, eventually, he put a circle all the way around where that chain went. And the dog got used to seeing that circle, all the green grass, and then this big brown circle, and then more green grass, and he hit that brown circle, and he'd stop. Well, the neighbor got sick of his lawn looking so ugly, so he lengthened the chain. Didn't matter. The dog would run to that circle and stop. Eventually, the neighbor went out there and took the dog by the collar and pulled it beyond the circle. When he let go, the dog ran back. There's times in our lives where God wants to do more. In this room are apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists. There are elders. There are workers in the local church. And you're thinking to yourself, I can't do it. And God's saying, yes, you can. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. Rise up, O man of God, woman of God. Take this world for the kingdom and the purposes of God. Amen. Just do it. When we were building our building at our church, I had a man come to me and he calculated that with the size of our congregation, we couldn't afford to heat the building we were building. He was my treasurer. Don't have a treasurer like that. It's a nightmare. So he comes and he presents this to us as leaders, and we're about to build a new building. He says, well, based on the size, and he's a good man. I don't mean it that way. But based on the size of our congregation, our present income, we can't afford to heat the building if we build it. Well, we built it in 2006, and we paid the heating bill every year. Can we say amen? Amen. And the air conditioning bill, come on. And we've gotten the grass cut. Hallelujah. And we built a new stage, and we built a new wall, and we're putting in carpet. We're about to do the parking lot. Hey, we're still going. And man, I get so hot in there on Sunday mornings in the winter. I just turn the heat up a few degrees just for him. Just kidding. I know none of you are carnal, just me. Just me. Amen? With God, all things are possible. Are you the lady that was playing the piano tonight in the worship? You're the one I was looking for. I heard this word for you about an international ministry, but not so much maybe you'll travel, but that people from different nations were going to come across your path, and you were going to feed them, you were going to feed them the word, you were going to help them, that God's coming to you tonight, and he's saying that he's going to start to bring people who are unsaved or people who are saved or people who are looking even for God or looking for a church home or whatever, but you're going to be able to speak to them, and they're going to be from different nations, different nationalities, and as you're faithful just to help them in very practical ways, God's going to give you inroads and avenues. Get ready. I don't know if it's going to be neighbors or people coming across you or whatever, but get ready for people from different nations and international ministry. And here's the thing. God's going to start to put within you even a greater boldness. A greater boldness to share the gospel and to reach out and to talk. And he's going to put on your heart burdens. Get ready and to look even. Start looking for opportunities to minister to people of different nationalities, different nations, whether it's just bringing them food or bringing them clothes or just helping them out or showing them kindness. But God says he's going to give you a ministry to touch people from different nations for the kingdom and the purposes of God. Hey, it doesn't mean you won't travel. It doesn't mean you might not go places. But I heard that word, an international ministry. And God is going to cause you to have a caring, you're a caring person. I don't mean it that way. way at all. God, but God's going to increase your heart. He's going to enlarge your heart for people and to care for people. And again, it's not that that hasn't been there, but even more so, you're going to start to get burdens for people and begin to pray for people and begin to see them come in to the kingdom and the purposes of God. So be encouraged. Hallelujah. Some people travel to nations. God's going to bring nationalities to you, and they're going to be brought into the kingdom and the purposes of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Isn't he good? Isn't he good? Hasn't he done all he said he would? Come on. All that we have, all that we are, comes from above. Yeah. You got to get the yeah. Isn't he good? Oh, isn't he good? He met the need like only he could. Faithful and true to me and you. Isn't he good? Yeah. You know, my wife and I, we've been pastoring for 22 years, and about 10 or 12 years ago, we were going through a very difficult time in the church. Not that any of you in ministry have ever been through a difficult time. You know, it's the old saying that when a pastor comes on Sunday morning, the congregation is lined up in the parking lot, cheering him in the door. He walks up and they sit, "Pastor, give us the word of the Lord." And they fall on their faces and say, "Yes, hallelujah." And as he's leaving, they line up, "Pastor, hurry back next week. We can't wait to hear." I don't know how I got on that. But anyhow, we were going through a difficult time. That's right. So my wife, I come home and, you know, man, I'm blessed. I mean, my wife stands behind me, stands behind the church. I am blessed beyond measure. You know, she grew up in the church. Her father actually was Bernard Evans. Her aunt is Sylvia Evans. You don't know these people. I'm telling you, they're in the kingdom. They got saved last week, but they're in the kingdom. You don't know. They have ministries that go back generations. Her uncles are the Doddswhites who planted churches in Africa, right? So, you know, this girl's got some heritage in her, but we were going through a hard time, and she was really getting under it. And actually, the house we were living in at the time, the guy we were renting it from came to us and said, "You have 2 months to get out." Not that we weren't paying our rent. He just wanted to sell the house. And so we didn't have a house to move into, and we were planting the church at the time, and shall we say money was tight. Say it with me. Money was tight. Money was tight. And so my wife, as we had a couple babies at the time, and I might have some of these details a little wrong, but I get the general picture. You might have had 3 babies. Can't keep track of them all. They just started coming, you know. It was all her fault. I had nothing to do with it. But anyhow, so I say these things because she's not here. But really going through it, you know. And I come home. She doesn't know that I'm home. And she's got a handkerchief in her hand. And she's running around the house singing that song. Isn't he good? Isn't he good? Hasn't he done all he said he would? All that we have, all that we are. And she's doing this. Comes from above. Yeah. Oh. And all of a sudden she sees me. She goes, "What are you doing home?" I said, "I'm just glad to see you singing, because I'd rather see you singing than being discouraged." Well, it all worked out. We got a house and we got grant money. And we got into a 4-bedroom house with, in those days, which was 1.5 baths and a 2-car garage. We got into it. We got grant money from the government. Thank you, government. And we got into a house and the Lord took care of us. Of course, then the day came with 4 daughters, we realized we had to sell that house because 1 bathroom with 4 girls? Exactly. Ain't going to work. I was having kidney failure. You know what I'm saying? You know, and they'd wake up at 6 in the morning. You know, they knew I'd set my alarm. And they knew I'd be getting in at 6 a.m. And at 5:59, my oldest Elizabeth, I hear her little feet down the hall, into the bathroom, close the door and go, yeah, I love them. Hallelujah. Well, I know. You're here to get. Hallelujah. I'm very spiritual. Just ask my wife. Praise the Lord. We're going to have an altar call now because time is gone. And I want to encourage you in something. Well, break out of your mindset. Start believing the Lord. Don't let anyone tell you you can't do it. And don't tell yourself you can't do it. When your pastor or your leader or whatever asks you to do something, say, okay. If they think I can do it, I can do it. And I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Amen. Just looking around here, but praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Pastor Ron and I are going to come up here now, and Pastor Vic, if you'd like it. But we're going to be here. There's a lot of you here tonight. And, if you didn't get a word, don't worry about it. Jesus still loves you. I've sat many times and not got a word. I'm still alive. But if you'd like prayer tonight, we're just going to be up here. And I don't know if someone's going to come up and close us with some music in the background, or Pastor Torres is going to come up or whatever. But we want to open up the altar right now. It's 10 to 9. But we want to give you an opportunity if you'd like prayer. If you know you just need the Lord to speak to you, or you just got something on your heart, don't miss out tonight. Amen? Amen? Can we all stand together? I'm going to dismiss. If you got to run, I understand. But if you'd like prayer, this altar is open. Pastor Ron and I will be here. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Praise the Lord. Feel free as the worship team starts. If you like prayer, come on up. I'll be here.
Hallelujah.
Pastor Ron.